This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and as COVID continues, so do we, broadcasting outside the studios to bring you the LGBT news of the world with the Worldwide Wave panel tonight of Shannon.
Hey, everybody.
And Paul.
Good evening. Now, would you believe me if I told you that there was a world-leading initiative to overcome homophobic and transphobic bullying in schools that is actually built directly into the education system and was endorsed by a government with cross-party support? No, this isn't some fantasy. This is actually the reality in Scotland.
Jordan Daly and Liam Stevenson formed the Time for Inclusive Education, or TIE for short, campaign in 2015. And this has grown into a fully-fledged charity with one aim: to combat homophobia, biphobia and transphobia in schools. In 2018, the Scottish Government announced that LGBT inclusive education would be implemented across all state schools to ensure that the Scottish education system is inclusive for everyone across the rainbow community.
Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
One of the main drivers of this organisation as well is the absolute abject disgust that I felt when that young man there told me about, you know, what he thought his best options were at 12 years old. And obviously then you take that and you think that you superimpose that onto your own child and ask the question, is that acceptable? Is that good enough for my child if she grows up and is part of the LGBT community? And of course, the answer to that is no.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Many LGBT people have vivid and often unpleasant memories of their time at school, dealing with intolerance and bullying from fellow classmates and even teachers. But in Scotland, Jordan Daly took these painful memories and found a way to bring change to help all Scottish LGBT children. We talked to Jordan together with Liam Stevenson, the co-founders of the TIE campaign, and asked them why they started their campaign to change education in Scotland.
TIE campaign, also known as Time for Inclusive Education. TIE is a charity now which works exclusively on LGBT and equalities education in schools. But TIE began in 2015 as a grassroots campaign, and it was when Liam and I met each other during the Scottish independence referendum and had been, you know, very kind of politically involved for the first time. And to be totally honest, TIE was kind of just born out of conversations. I'm gay myself, Liam's not. And we, just as we were becoming friends, we were just kind of having discussions about, you know, my experience at school. I experienced homophobic bullying at school, and there was lots of homophobic language at school. Because my whole entire experience at school was just characterised by a complete exclusion of LGBT issues. There was a big culture of silence around it. And when Liam and I met in 2014, like those were the kind of conversations that we had.
Jordan, I just wanted to pick up there. It's a big step to go from, hey, I went through this in school, to, my gosh, I'm going to create this project that's going to change things for generations to come. Not everybody can do that. What What inspired you, and Liam as well, what inspired you both to actually go, hang on, we've got to make a change here?
Well, Liam, do you want to maybe pick this one up?
It's a difficult question to answer, to be honest, because we were both active in the independence referendum, and we were both pro-yes, both pro a new, better, different, progressive Scotland. And I've asked myself this question a number of times, and for some reason that feeling of almost being there really inspired me and made me feel that for the first time in my life, at 36 then, for the first time in my life, I felt that the ordinary people like me and Jordan could go and do extraordinary things. And I started that revolution inside this house here with the way I bring up my little girl, who was 3 then. She's now 9. And it's a very, very good question, because we were, to put it in a Scottish context, we were cheeky buggers, because we really did go, and this is 2 guys who had no idea what they were doing, no idea how you should structure your own campaign, actually no idea of what you needed, you know, the tools. And when I say the tools, I mean the finance. We had a meeting with activists a lot older than us, people who had been involved in political campaigning for many years. And this person sat across the table and said to me, where are you going to get the finance for the campaign? And I said to them, what do you mean? And they says, well, you need money for printing, for travel, for accommodation. You know, this is a campaign. You're looking to change Scottish education. It's not easy to do. And saying, we don't need money. We don't need money. We're just going to go and do it. And we're going to go and we're going to win. And we literally went and we won. And we delivered a world-leading policy. And we literally done that on hundreds of pounds. Not thousands, hundreds of pounds. Because we were dynamic. We were smart. And we didn't have money. Simply, we didn't. We couldn't spend money we didn't have. So I don't know where that belief and the drive and the passion came from, but it was there. And I don't know. Myself and Jordan have spoke about it at length, and over the last number of years, we feel as if, and we felt it at the time, there was a kind of magnetism, an electricity between me and him, our personalities, and we felt as if we were put together to do something, to go and to do something special, and I think we did that.
And I think, as Liam says, like, it's in terms of why the passion and the drive was there, it was the fact that it was there that led us from, you know, sitting on the sofa in Liam's living room and just talking about some of the issues that I'd experienced at school with homophobic bullying and the prevalence of homophobic language in schools and the experiences of LGBT young people, because LGBT young people can't see themselves reflected in their learning. They can't, you know, they don't learn anything about who they are. They don't learn anything about their community. They learn nothing about their history. And Ty really did just come from those organic conversations. Like, I remember sitting on Liam's sofa and talking to him about my experiences. Like, when I was younger, in early high school, you know, around the age of 12, like, I was experiencing bullying. I was struggling to accept that I was gay. And, you know, that led me down just kind of different dark paths in terms of what solutions that I thought that I had to this, you know, perceived problem. And Liam had said to me before, you know, like, what would have made that better for you? What would have made you feel more self-confident? What would have made you, you know, feel better at school? And I remember saying to him, like, if I had just learned about other LGBT people, you know, like, if I'd learned about some of the history of the community, if I had learned about some of the people that have come before me, some of the, you know, the big LGBT icons throughout history, if I'd just learned about one of those people, then I would have known that I wasn't the only person that had felt this way, and that actually there had been people who had come before me who were part of the LGBT community and had gone on to change the world and achieve amazing things. And that was just something that I felt, you know, like, I just thought that was impossible. Homophobia was so pervasive at my school that I genuinely, you know, thought that being gay was the worst thing in the world, and it was going to just mean a life of, you know, social isolation and bullying, and I just couldn't see any positives to it. And that's what I struggled so much with. And when we were having those conversations in 2014 on Liam's sofa, it really did just organically then move into, okay, so what do we do about it? And I remember when I was at school, I used to watch the It Gets Better videos, maybe when I was about 14 or 15. I remember one night showing Liam some of those It Gets Better videos, you know, the ones with Lady Gaga and Cher and whoever else. And I remember Liam saying, like, these are good videos. It's the, you know, they obviously meant a lot to me, and they have an impact on other young people. But that whole idea that we have to say to LGBT young people in school, don't worry, it gets better eventually. Liam had said, you know, that's wrong. Like, we should be making things better for young people now. We should be doing whatever it is we need to do to make things better for them, so that, you know, tomorrow's generation's LGBT young people don't continue to have the experiences that, you know, so many of us had before. And that's the truth as to where Ty came from. It was a conversation, a bit of passion, and I think also just a realisation that, you know, if we don't do it, then who will?
That was Jordan Daly, together with Liam Stevenson, the co-founders of the Ty Campaign, the campaign for inclusive education, talking to us from Scotland on Joy 94.9. And please always remember, if these topics raise some painful memories or issues for you, there's lots of support available. Check out joy.org.au/support for help.
Now, bullying at school is not something new. It's been a constant issue. And LGBT or homophobic bullying or transphobic kind of takes it to another level. Has anybody had any experience in that?
Yes, I was going to say I experienced, certainly at secondary school, and very similar to Jordan, I had difficulty coming to terms with being gay, but I was being bullied throughout the 6 years that I was at secondary school by my fellow classmates. So that wasn't a very pleasant experience.
And no input from teachers, no attempt to help?
No interventions, no support. But also equally, I didn't call out for help because that wasn't the done thing. You didn't dob people in, even if they were being complete assholes. You still didn't dob them in.
There is definitely that culture of silence in schools, which makes this particular effort even more impressive. I love the passion of Liam and Jordan. You know, they were cheeky buggers. They just decided they were going to do it.
If we think back, a fair few weeks ago, I guess now, but when we spoke to Lee, the professor in Massachusetts, she talked about how important it was that it starts in schooling, where children then stop attending or their school performance worsens because of bullying of this kind of nature. And it's great to see change in that area.
I like the thing about the cheeky buggers, and they were going to do it without any money. Like, it didn't matter. They just had the passion, and that's what was going to drive them, whether they had the cash or not.
Passion and determination, absolutely. It did make me think, though, when they were talking about the It Gets Better campaign, which was, you know, heralded as a really positive, forward-thinking campaign, which was about, you know, telling those personal stories and it gets better. But they kind of said, well, no, that's wrong. It's not about waiting for it to get better. It's about making change now.
Yeah, I totally agree with their point of view. I mean, it hadn't actually occurred to me, but it's sort of bleeding obvious, really, that why should they have to wait for it to get better? And for some, it's not going to get better, unfortunately.
Well, perhaps if this campaign goes worldwide, maybe it will. Coming up, we find out what needs to happen next after the Scottish Government endorsed this inclusive education program. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the prisoner of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the Worldwide Wave.
Even though we're currently broadcasting outside the studios, you can still message us through Facebook, that's Worldwide Wave, or the shortcut is W3Joy.
The idea of teaching LGBTI history and using LGBTI role models in schools to tackle prejudice and bullying is a simple yet clever one that has now been endorsed by the Scottish Government. We asked our guests Jordan Daly and Liam Stevenson, creators of the Tie campaign, how they felt when it was announced in the Scottish Parliament that their campaign had been successful and that inclusive LGBTI education would be coming to all state schools in Scotland.
Me and Jordan are disgustingly pragmatic, and even when we sat in the chamber in the Scottish Parliament in the Education Secretary, John Swinney, made the announcement to the world that this was happening, me and him were 100% focused on what had to happen next, because speeches in Parliament, commitments are not enough. We have to deliver on the back of the commitments. We are obsessed with getting this right, because this is about saving people's life and changing people's lives. So it's important we get that right, and it's important it works. We didn't just deliver the campaign, we delivered the solutions as well, which I think is an absolute key to being successful. I certainly don't think we will pat ourselves in the back until we see that data, because we're obsessed with data, we're data driven. All the work we do in schools, etc., we gather data from the young people, because up until now myself and Jordan have never had a penny out of this. So I would rather be playing golf than speaking to 1,000 young people if I'm having no impact. So we gather this data, and until we see the data showing us that young LGBT people's school experiences and their lives have dramatically improved, then there's no time for platitudes, and there's no time to sit back patting ourselves in the back.
What will students actually do or experience as a result of this program?
So LGBT inclusive education is basically the overarching policy term for the Scottish Government's policy approach that we work on them with. In terms of what that looks like, it's across the curriculum. So it does include teaching about LGBT history. So some of the key moments from the equal rights movement in Scotland, the rest of the United Kingdom, and also across the globe internationally. So, for example, teaching about the lesbians and gays support the minors in the UK, or the Stonewall Uprising, or the global push for marriage equality, and young people would learn about people like Alan Turing when schools are covering World War II. So they would go through the role of Alan Turing during World War II in terms of the kind of an innovation and the code breaking which helped the Allies win the war, but also how he was then treated by the state afterwards on the basis of his sexual orientation. From kind of earlier years within schools, it's as simple as, you know, taking principles of kindness, anti-bullying, diversity being a strength, and different family types, two mums, two dads, single parents, LGBT family members. So it's very, the good thing about the approach that we're taking in Scotland is that it's all very age and stage appropriate, and it wraps into wider principles. So, part of LGBT inclusive education also is young people having an understanding of, what is equality? What do we mean by equality? What do we mean by prejudice? What do we mean by discrimination? How does this impact on LGBT communities? But how does this impact on other communities too? When it comes to LGBT inclusive education, it's basically embedding LGBT themes into existing areas of the curriculum in order to, try and destigmatise the culture of silence around LGBT issues, to try and shatter that within our schools. Yeah.
But there's just to add to that as well, though, the approach we've taken is we've woven this completely throughout every aspect of schools in Scotland, or education in Scotland. For instance, school inspections. When school inspections take place, they now have to evidence what they're doing to enhance LGBT inclusion within the schools and what they're doing with regards to LGBT inclusive education. One of the first things that we managed to get changed is it's the system where teachers can record and report bullying throughout schools, and it's a national thing. And one of the first things we done was to have homophobic bullying added to that, because teachers could list various different things, but they couldn't list homophobic bullying. And we had that changed. Or transphobic, of course. And that was done probably about 2 years ago, and that was done. But this is what the point I'm trying to make is, this approach is layered and it's multi-layered. And this is why we've completely woven it right through the fabric of our education here in Scotland. And that's one of the reasons that our approach is world leading, that and the fact that there are no opt-outs for faith schools, no opt-outs whatsoever. This is part of our education system now.
Have you had principals and schools that have resisted or come out against this?
Not yet. And, you know, hopefully we wouldn't, but we've been doing this for 5 years now. We've worked with a lot of schools across Scotland. We've worked with, around 30,000 school pupils across the country. There's never been a single parental complaint that we're aware of about the work that's been done. There hasn't been teacher complaints. There's not, you know, an organised movement against this in Scotland. There's, of course, you know, online trolling and online abuse that we have to put up with, unfortunately, as an LGBT charity working with schools. We didn't just make these proposals kind of willy-nilly and out of the blue. We worked with teachers for the best part of 2 years. We worked with the Teachers' Trade Union in Scotland. We worked with parents and the National Parent Forum of Scotland. And we, you know, the proposals that we've put forward and the way that LGBT inclusive education will work in Scotland is really sensible. And it's difficult to argue that young people shouldn't learn about LGBT people from throughout society and from throughout history, that young people shouldn't learn about prejudice and bullying, that young people shouldn't understand the impact of homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, and how to recognise and identify that within school and within wider society and how to challenge it. How do you say, on the one hand, it's all right for young people to learn about Martin Luther King at school, it's all right for young people to learn about Emmeline Pankhurst at school, but we can't teach young people about Marsha P. Johnson or Alan Turing or Billie Jean King, just in case we make them LGBT? It's ridiculous. So, like, it's our proposals, our approach to LGBT education in schools is very common sense. And it works, you know, as Liam says, we've been collecting data for years about our work in schools. Our own evidence shows us that young people who previously had negative opinions towards the LGBT community, after going through a curriculum like this, their perspectives and their opinions change. They're more understanding, they're more empathetic, and that's how we drive out bullying. As far as I'm concerned, the two major components to LGBT inclusive education is, one, it's an anti-bullying measure, it's a preventative bullying measure. We're not being reactive to bullying, we're being proactive. And two, we're empowering LGBT young people and ultimately all young people to really, you know, receive that simple message that it's completely okay to be who you are, and, you know, being LGBT is not a barrier in life.
The inspiring words of Jordan Daly speaking with us from Scotland on Joy 94.9. I think the most impressive thing for me here is how they've taken this as a really holistic view. So embedding bits of LGBT history or learnings or news across the whole curriculum. So it's not about having a class on homophobia. It's about, you know, doing, as a part of your World War II history, learning about Alan Turing, what he did and then what happened to him. I mean, that's just, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think that is the thing that got me, was the fact that it's embedded and also across ages. So it's also in primary schools. They talk about families, different types of family, and respect, and what diversity means. So it's just, having it so embedded into the curriculum and the way that the system is in Scotland, it's just amazing. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's really great the way they've embedded it. And I think that, you know, they mentioned like so many different parts of LGBT history that aren't just like real moments of like pride for LGBT people, but are just actually really fascinating and interesting. And that like will grab the attention, I think, of young people.
The other impressive thing for me was the fact that they've got measures for things. So they are definitely looking at this as an evidence-based approach to change, and the schools know they will be measured on this as a part of their inspections.
Yeah, so the fact that it's not just, you know, it's not just the curriculum, it's actually the whole system. So as you said, Matt, the schools have to evidence that they're, what they're doing in terms of their learning about LGBT, but also what they're doing in the school to be inclusive.
And we've got lots more words of inspiration coming up from our friends in Scotland. We learn how Jordan and Liam managed to keep the politics out of their campaign. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Dark9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe, one queer story at a time. World Wide Wave. And tonight we're up north in Scotland. A special hello to everyone listening to us on podcasts. You can subscribe to our, receive our podcasts automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a glowing review.
Jordan Daly and Liam Stevenson are the co-founders of the Tide Campaign, and they have successfully lobbied the Scottish Government to embed inclusive education into all state schools in Scotland. Given the history with the Safe Schools program in Australia, which provoked a moral panic with some of the claims that it was left-wing propaganda being imposed on students, we asked them how they managed to keep politics out of the Tide campaign.
We engaged politically, so we took the arguments to legislators and we took the arguments to the Scottish Parliament, and, you know, like I and other LGBT young people spoke to decision makers and parliamentarians about the experiences that we had at school and what had to change, and Liam was very effective as someone who wasn't LGBT, but someone who was also a parent. So he was able to speak to a whole other audience of people and another audience of decision makers in the Parliament, and help them to understand why this was so important for all young people and ultimately for the fabric of our society. But Liam, what were you going to...
Yeah, what I was going to say was that we managed to keep the politics out of it, and it was never allowed to become a political football. And that's because we went to build a broad consensus for this. You know, Civic Scotland got behind us, the National Parent Forum, after me and Jordan delivered a couple of table-thumping speeches, they voted to support us in the face of having religious representatives on their board. The Trade Union Congress in Scotland backed us. So we built such momentum that it was almost an unstoppable force, if you get me. And at one point, I can remember saying to Jordan that, you know, we got to tipping point, and I says to him, well, that's it, it's done now, you know, me and you could get wiped out tomorrow, and this is still going to, you know, the juggernaut's going to continue on, that we've now built something that's unstoppable.
If you don't mind me saying, you two are a bit of an odd couple. I say that with respect. Liam, as a straight dad, why are you involved?
You know, something I speak about in schools, and I talk to the young people, and I challenge the young people to be a better them. And something I say to these young people is that none of us can be held accountable for the world that we find when we get here, as we grow on, we age. But every single one of us will be held accountable and are absolutely responsible for the world we leave behind. And it's my commitment to the world that once I'm gone and dust, that this place should be better for me being here. That's the short answer. But the long answer probably is that his story actually broke my heart. It broke my heart because what I've seen back in 2015 when I first met him, he had the world at his feet as far as I could see, but at 12 years of age he had chosen a tree that he was going to finish his life on just because of who he fancies, just because of who he's attracted to, just because he's a young gay man. But yeah, I realised that I had to do something, and what I also realised was that people like me were part of the problem. I was part of the problem. I was the West of Scotland heterosexual lorry driver who would refer to people as faggots and poofs, and that was a culture, that was a common language. I used it, and I realised that, you know, if I'm part of the reason that that boy wanted to not be here at 12 years of age, I was part of the problem, therefore I am, by default, part of the solution. I have to change, but I have to take other people with me, and I have to change as many people as possible. And that's pretty much where I came from, and that's pretty much where I'm still at.
For Melissa as well.
And, of course, for Melissa, my little girl, for her future has to be better. You know, the household that she is born into and that lives, you know, grows up and is shaped and had to be inclusive. It had to have, you know, different types of language. And I'll give you a small example. I can remember a number of years ago that Melissa had broke wind in the living room, and I'd say to her, how are you going to get a husband or a wife doing things like that? And he started laughing. He's like, did you see what you just did there? And I realised, oh God, and see that tiny act, that's almost revolutionary, because at 3-4 years of age, my wee girl knows that I understand that she might have a wife one day. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's me making sure there's no closet for her to go in, because her dad's using that kind of language as he brings his child up.
What does the future hold for the campaign and for you two?
What we kind of think about Ty is, you know, we built a model there, a campaigning model. We built a model of, the framework that's going to be used in schools. So we kind of think that Ty We would rather try inspired people in other parts of the world to go and take that model and go and try and deliver the same thing there.
If a then 36-year-old petrol tanker driver and a 19-year-old university student that worked part-time in a supermarket can go from a conversation on a sofa to world-leading government policy and really revolutionising young people's experiences here, we can do it. Anyone can. And I think ultimately the only barrier to LGBT people, but anyone in any part of the world, you know, actually going and making a change like this as the thought that they won't be able to.
Absolutely. The Odd Couple Changing the World. Jordan Daly, Liam Stevenson, co-founders of Time for Inclusive Education, speaking to us from Scotland. Thank you so much for speaking with us and inspiring us here on World Wide Wave.
But thank you very much. It was very kind to get in touch.
Take care.
Please remember, if this topic has raised some painful memories or issues for you, there is lots of support available. Check out joy.org.au/support for help.
Now, we talked there with them about the Safe Schools program, which was here in Australia and has continued in Victoria, but ceased or changed in many other jurisdictions here. How do we go about? They seem to have been able to corral everybody bar one party on this journey to get this through. How do we go about that?
I think it goes back to the point where it's teaching through experiences, through stories. So it's as you say, Matt, it's not that they're having a lesson about homophobia, transphobia. They're actually experiencing it through the stories rather than being taught about the subject. I think that might be one of the reasons why it got through with so much support, political support.
I think also, too, having the two, as we call them, the odd couple, we saw Jordan, the younger, young guy, has direct lived experience and is able to tell that story of homophobic bullying. But then Liam, this straight guy, married with a young girl who just went, look, this is wrong. And he's able to talk to a whole different audience and make them listen, because he's, you know, he's not, it kind of takes that element of politics out of it, just because he says, well, I'm straight, it's not going to directly impact me, but it's just wrong, we need to change it.
But he also acknowledges that people like him and him himself were also part of the problem. And that's one of the reasons why he's so passionate about it, because he wants to change himself and as many other people as he can. I love the example he gives about his daughter breaking wind, and then he says...
The farting story.
The farting story. Yeah, they put it far more politely. How is she going to get a husband or wife if she carries on doing that?
Absolutely. Cracks us up. Yeah. Love it.
And also, if you listen to the extended version, which we're going to podcast, because the interview went on for about 40 minutes, you also hear about the other issues he has with his daughter.
I mean, you know, we've talked about this before on the show many times, that whole thing of storytelling about, you know, it's very easy to hate something that you don't understand, but when it's somebody you have heard their story, when it's somebody you might know and you found out something intimate about them, it's really hard to go against that.
Yeah. It's when you personalize it. So when it's a faceless person, a faceless crowd, a faceless group
issue,
it's easy to pick on, it's easy to object to it. But when you actually have, you know the person, or you know of somebody, or you hear the stories about the individuals, it changes people.
It was really great to hear from someone who had said like some off-colour things in the past and was able to talk about that, because I think that that is like the best way to change. You know, we always talk about that when it comes to like feminism and stuff, right, that men saying like this is how we should change is the best way to do it. And I think that it's definitely a part of the LGBT, like the way forward to get these sort of cultural changes, especially in schools, where then you change the next generation.
Yeah, and I think too, the fact that, I mean, they met as a part of the Scottish independence movement,
completely non-political people, but they felt empowered. And it got me thinking to our experience here. I wonder if, as a result of marriage equality, it's kind of, you know, created some new activists who will sort of take things forward to the next level.
Yeah, you definitely hope so. It was definitely an engaging campaign for people to really get involved and to door knock and to talk to people. I mean, at the time, I didn't really want the campaign to happen, but it was a great way to meet. I met a lot of other people who got involved in different things since then.
And if we ever get to having a president, I'd be quite happy with President Magda. Hansky.
Excellent. Now, you'll be able to hear lots more from Jordan and Liam on... We're putting up an extended version of the podcast, so you can see, because they were not short of a word, and we loved every minute of it. So you'll find that at joy.org.au/worldwidewave in the next few days.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
Now, before we go tonight, just want to mention Give Out Day, which is coming up on Friday, the 16th of October. It's a chance to support the LGBTIQA+ organisations and rainbow projects. Joy, we are very proud to be a part of this, and we're raising important funds to upskill LGBTIQ people in regional, rural and remote communities. So doing what we do here on Worldwide Wave, telling stories, it's empowering rural and regional and remote communities to be able to tell their stories from across Australia. We are going to train locals in those communities in the art of radio and podcasting. And you can be a part of helping this project become a reality. We know the power of telling stories here on Worldwide Wave, so we want to bring that to regional and rural communities in Australia. To get involved, go to giveout.org.au/joy.
We'd like to give a huge thank you to Jordan Daly and Liam Stevenson, the co-founders of the Time for Inclusive Education campaign, or TIE for short. You can see all of their good work and access their educational resources at their website, which is TIE, that's T-I-E, campaign, all one word, so tiecampaign.co.uk. And don't forget to check out Worldwide Wave's podcast, where you'll be able to find the full 40-minute interview, yes, they know how to talk, with Jordan and Liam.
Huge thank you, as always, to those who have contacted us on Facebook, especially while we've been in COVID. Dom, Jean, Matthew, Sarah, Hong and heaps more have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. If you want to find us, that's W3Joy on Facebook.
And a thanks to our fabulous behind-the-scene team, our podcaster Peter and our social media master Dean.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne. And online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.